Okay, by special request and at the same time personal conviction, ay mahalaga itong serye na pag-aaralan natin ngayong buwan na ito about evangelizing. May mga pagkakataon na pinag-aralan natin to, and I remember early sa kasaysayan ng ating iglesia, meron tayong comprehensive, exhaustive study of evangelism, and this is something that we believe is a very important issue sa ating iglesia. Isang bintang na malimit na ilagay sa atin na mga hindi nakakakilala sa ating paniniwala, because we are Reformed in theology, we are Calvinistic sa kanilang pananaw, e akala nila hindi nag-evangelize at walang pagpapahalaga sa evangelism, dahil naniniwala tayo na hinirang ng Diyos ang kanyang mga ililigtas at siya ang tumatawag sa mga tutugon sa Ebanghelyo. Yan ang talagang pinaninindigan natin. Inaakala nila ang conclusion o yung logical result noon ay walang pagpapahalaga sa zealous evangelism. Parang bahala na ang Diyos sa kanila. Hindi po totoo yun. Alam nyo na hindi totoo yun sa ating iglesia. Malaki ang pagpapahalaga natin sa gawain ng pag-iebanghelyo at sa responsibilidad ng bawat mananampalataya na ibahagi ang ebanghelyo. At lalo na po ngayon, na sa pagpapala ng ating Diyos, dumaranas tayo ng mabungang panahon sa ating iglesia, a season of fruitfulness, and together with the season of fruitfulness sa ating iglesia, ay increasing opportunities to evangelize. And that calls for more serious attention dito sa gawain ng pag-iebanghelyo. Kaya meron na tayong mga prison ministry bukod sa ating student ministry. And of course, huwag natin kalimutan, at ito yung mas ididiin ko sa serye na ito, ay yung personal evangelism, one-on-one evangelism. Now, let me begin by emphasizing, I prefer still the word evangelizing than the more common popular alternatives. Yung mga popular na alternatives, ay sabihin mo sharing, which is good in and of itself, or witnessing, again, good in and of itself, pero wala sila nung evangelizing, because sa word na evangelizing, bukod sa ito'y biblical, ito yung ginamit na salita in Acts 11:20, when the people who were scattered by persecution sa Jerusalem, yung iba sa kanila napadpad sa Antioch, at nagsimula silang mangusap sa mga taong nakakasalimuha nila, yung ginamit na salita ay euangelizo sa Grego. And that is what we translate as evangelize. Kaya yung personal na one-on-one talking ng isang Kristiyano para hikayatin ang hindi Kristiyano ay tinatawag na evangelizing. Kaya biblical yung word. At bukod sa biblical, of course, sa salitang evangelize, eh nandyan yung salitang evangel. Evangel means gospel. Kaya nariyan yung salita na wala doon sa sharing and witnessing, good as they are. Pero yung evangelizing, agad sinasabi na ano yung ibinabahagi mo. What we are trying to share is the evangel. Kaya I still prefer to use evangelizing, although mas malaking salita at mas siguro sa iba ay hindi agad nauunawaan. Pero it is a biblical term that carries the substance of the message we are trying to share. At ang kailangan sa anumang evangelism ay nandoon yung knowing what we are sharing and knowing how to share. Kaya kung mapapansin nyo, ito'y doctrinal. Review lang naman ito. I-review natin na yung ibinabahagi natin. And then more sa series na ito ay yung practical, the how. So the what and the how for this morning. Siguro doon lang mas tingnan natin yung the what of we are trying to share. But I want to begin with this thesis. All Christians have obligation to evangelize under the authority of the church. So sino yung mag-evangelize? Christians. Lahat ng Kristiyano. Hindi ito mga may kaloob lamang, although some activities of evangelism are for the gifted. Halimbawa, yung may gifts sa pangangaral publicly o mag-Bible study ng maramihan, yan, kailangan ng gift dyan. Hindi pwedeng kung sino-sino na lang. Pero yung one-on-one, yan po ay pangkalahatan. Lahat ng tunay na mananampalataya dapat ay obligasyon yan. Ito ay responsibilidad ng bawat isa na may pananampalataya It is for all who are converted because what we are trying to do is share our experience of conversion. Kaya kung ikaw ay man, itinuturing mo ang sarili mong mananampalataya, kasama ka rito. Hindi ito trabaho lang ni pastor o ng mga diakono o yung may mga gifts. Trabaho ito at responsibilidad ng lahat ng may pananampalataya kasi ang ibinabahagi rito ay yung naranasan mo, yung karanasan mo ng pananampalataya. But we said this is under the church. Ito ay nasa ilalim ng autoridad ng iglesia because evangelism is a commission given to the church. Kung reviewin natin, kung buksan ninyo sa Matthew 28:19-20, yung binigay na commission, yung tinatawag nating Great Commission, madalas hindi ito naiintindihan. Yung sinabi ng Panginoon doon, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and teaching them to observe all things. Kung papansin ninyo yung structure niyan, sa original, ito ay simple exegesis lamang, there's only one verb or there's only one imperative. Isa lang ang utos riyan. Akala ng marami, sunod-sunod na utos. Isa lang ang imperative verb dyan at yan yung make disciples. So yan yung binigay sa iglesia, make disciples of all nations. At tandaan natin, yung nations dito, hindi ito nations na alam nating states. Philippines, Japan, China, hindi ganun ang nations. Nations ay peoples, iba't ibang uri ng mga tao. Ngayon, tatlong participles ang isinuno dyan. Remember your grammar review, participle, an adjective in verb form. Kaya parang verb ang tingin natin, pero adjective siya, dinidescribe yung isang bagay. So, ang tatlong participle ay going, baptizing, teaching. So, yan yung tatlo na nakabahagi dun sa iisa. There's only one imperative, there's only one action, kumbaga, na pinapagawa sa iglesia, make disciples, lahat yan sa iglesia, pero in making disciples, dito papasok yung evangelism. Ito, membership. At ito, maturation. So, tatlo yung bahagi ng disciple making. Evangelizing, yan yung going, baptizing, teaching. Kaya makikita natin sa evangelizing, ito yung mga nasa labas. Yung mga hindi mo asahang pumasok sa iglesia. Kaya ang mahalaga rito, yung mga miyembro ng iglesia ang gumagawa habang sila'y nasa labas. You are going. Nasa trabaho, nasa bahay, nasa kapitbahay, at iba pang mga ginagawa. You are going. And you are part of the going commission of the church. This is the evangelism part. Pero pansinin nyo, hindi natapos doon. At pagkatapos mo mag-evangelize, okay na. Kaya trabaho ng iglesia, kasi yung mga na-evangelize, kung talagang nanampalataya, bahagi yung mag-baptize. Now, we don't believe baptism is essential to salvation. Baptism is not a saving sacrament, no. But we believe that every true Christian should be baptized. And in the New Testament, an unbaptized Christian is an anomaly. And today, there are many anomalous Christians na hindi nababaptize. Kasi sa bagong tipan, binabaptize. Kung ikaw ay mananampalataya na, inaangkin mong mananampalataya ka na ni Kristo, hindi maaring hindi ka magpabautismo dahil bahagi ito ng making disciples. And yung mga naging disciples na baptize, ang nangyayari sa iglesia ay itong kagayang ginagawa natin ngayon, teaching, may pagtuturo. So ang point ko rito ay, yung evangelism, hindi ito sariling kayod. Hindi ito gagawa ka ng sarili mong organisasyon, Evangelistic Crusade of Noel Espinosa, walang ganun. Ito ay kinakailangan na panunungkulan na nasa loob at ginagawa ng iglesia. So, ang gusto kong kumbinsihin kayo ngayong umaga ay simple lamang na obligasyon mo. Kung ikaw ay Kristiyano at membro ka ng iglesia, obligasyon mo, responsibilidad mo na ikaw ay mag-ebanghelyo sa tatlong kadahilanan. Unang-una, biblical. Yung mando ng salita ng Diyos, iniutos ng salita ng Diyos sa bawat mananampalataya na mag-ebanghelyo. Nasa pinakaitaas ninyong, ng inyong handout ang verse ng Matthew 10:32-33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father So confessing, pagkikilala. Pansin ninyo yung kabaligtaran. If you are not confessing, whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So, pansin ninyo yung pinagkaiba ng yung dalawang verb. Confess, deny. Kilalanin, ipagkaila. Ibig sabihin, yung kabaligtaran ng confess ay deny. Akala natin ang kabaligtaran ng confess is not confess. Well, it's worse. If you are not confessing, you are denying. Alam mo, tanungin mo isang Kristiyano o nakakapag-evangelize ka ba sa family mo, hindi niya siguro isasagot, ay hindi, pinagkakaila ko si Kristo sa aking pamilya. Mabigat ang dating. Sasabihin niya, hindi nga, hindi ako nakakapag-evangelize. Eh, ang akala niya, ang hindi lang niya nagagawa ay hindi niya nako-confess. Pero ang sabi ng Panginoon, kapag hindi ka nagko-confess, ang ginagawa mo ay nagde-deny ka. By not speaking, you are effectively denying. So, consider the gravity na kapag tahimik ka sa pamilya mo, Kristiyano ka, hindi nalalaman ng nanay mo, ng tatay mo, ng iyong mga kapatid na ikaw pala'y Kristiyano, hindi lang sa hindi mo na ipakilala si Kristo sa kanila, effectively, ipinagkaila mo si Kristo sa kanila. Yun ang effect, yun ang gravity, yun ang bigat ng hindi pag-confess. And then in 1 Peter 3:15, may sinabi rito that if anyone asks you of the hope that is in you, give a defense. Give yung salitang defense doon, apologia, hindi apologizing, kundi ito yung ginagamit na pangungusap kapag ikaw ay nasa korte, maliwanag. And again, ang assumption doon, you live such a life that people ask. Diba? Kaya inaasahan na magtatanong sila. If you live such a life that people ask the different question, not about your hope, something is wrong. Pero Christians should live such a life that those who observe them, yung mga nagmamasid sa kanila, ay nauudyok na magtanong, ba't siya ganun? Halimbawa, sabihin niya sa'yo, Linggo, gumimik tayo. At sabihin mo, hindi, pag Linggo, ako'y nasa simbahan. Ay magtatanong siya, bakit siya ganun? May iba siyang uri ng pamumuhay. O kaya, karaniwan sa inyong opisina ay karaniwan na yung magtago o magchismis. At kapag ganun na ang sitwasyon, ayaw mo, hindi ka makikisali without being contemptuous towards your office mates. Pero may mga bagay na hindi mo gagawin. At kapag nakita nila yon, magtatanong sila. Kaya mag-ingat tayo kung ang tanong nila ay naiiba. Ba't sobrang daldal nito? O ba't alam na alam niya itong mga showbiz na mga balita? Eh, kailangan ang tanong nila, ba't hindi siya nakikisali sa chismis? O ba't hindi siya sumasama sa gimmick? Ba't hindi? Yun ang dapat na tanong na ma-provoke sa atin. At kapag nagtanong na raw sila, yan ang sabi ni Peter na give a defense of the hope that is in you. So magtatanong sila and then you are able to give the reason. Hindi ako sumasama sa gimmick ng Linggo kasi nasa simbahan ako, kinikilala ko si Kristo na Panginoon. It's a very good opportunity for witness. And then gusto kong tingnan natin itong James 5:19-20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So, may sinabi riyan, anyone who wanders from the truth and then someone turns him back. Ang mapapansin nyo agad ay isahan. Anyone. And then someone. It takes someone to turn anyone. Now, my suggestion or my challenge is consider yourself to be the someone to one of these anyone. Who is your anyone to whom you are the someone who will turn his back from the error of his ways? Sino man sa mga ito na ikaw ang dapat na magpabago ng kanilang gawi. So, yung one-on-one ito. There is that anyone to whom you are the someone. Each one of us, may ganun. There is always that anyone to whom you are the someone. This past month, pahabain na natin, this year, September na ngayon, month number 9, sa siyam na buwan, o ikasyam na buwan ng taong 2011, sino na yung naging anyone mo na ikaw yung someone? You are trying to turn his way from the, you are trying to turn him from the error of his way. Kung wala, again, magsiyasa tayo sa ating sarili because each one of us is the someone to one of these anyone who are turning away from the Lord. So, ang point ko rito ay medyo matindi. The failure to evangelize must be considered a sin of omission. Diba? Dalawang klase ng sin. Sin of commission at sin of omission. Sin of omission. May nabasa kasi yung article sa Environment, sin of omission. Yeah. Omission, ang ibig ko sabihin. Sin of omission, yung commission, nilabag mo yung utos. You are committing a violation of a command. Omission ay may utos na hindi mo sinusunod. Pero kasalanan pa rin. Yan ang sabi ni James din, James 4:17, to him who knows what to do what is right and does not do it, to him it is sin. That is the sin of omission. Kaya hindi tayo pwedeng manahimik dito. Wala naman akong ginagawang kasalanan sa pamilya ko. Well, that's good, pero nag-evangelize ka ba sa kanila? Kaya hindi pwede yung sabihin mo lang, wala akong kasalanan, hindi ko sila sinasaktan. Kung may tamang gawin na hindi mo ginagawa, I just want to say lovingly, and I know all the pressures and the intimidation attending evangelism, pag-aaralan natin yan sa mga susunod, pero ang point ay, kapag hindi natin ginagawa, ay may biblical mandate. At kung may biblical mandate, not to do it is a sin of omission. So yan ang unang dahilan na sabihin kong obligation natin, biblical. Ikalawa, yung personal argument, yung pangrelasyon. Each Christian has access to some sinners uniquely his or her own. So ang ibig sabihin niya, yung Kristiyano, meron siyang circle of relation na siya ang makakaabot sa mga hindi mananampalataya na siya lamang. Now, maaring may mas malapit sa kanila, pero hindi naman Kristiyano. Ngayon, ikaw ang Kristiyanong malapit sa kanila, and that relationship is uniquely yours, then it is therefore your duty that cannot be expected of others na gawin. At isang sinabi sa 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 na pinuri ni Pablo ang mga taga-Thessalonica, sinabi niya, from out of you, the word has sounded to Macedonia and Achaia. Itong Macedonia at Achaia, o yung Macedonia ay yung province ng Thessalonica, Achaia is yung karatig na lungsod. Paano nakarating yung salita doon? The best explanation ay yung mga tao ng Thessalonica, yung mga Kristiyano, kapag sila ay naglalakbay in their commerce, merchandise, nagbabahagi rin sila. So in other words, where the Lord in providence leads them, kung saan sila dinadala ng providensya ng Diyos, kasama yung ebanghelyong dinadala nila. So isang bagay ito na ipaalala natin sa ating sarili, where the providence of God has put the Christian, there are gospel reasons. Huwag mo lang isipin, nandito ako para kumita. Oh, that's a legitimate factor. I don't deny profit motive as a legitimate and positive consideration sa pagpili mo ng trabaho, pagpili mo ng lugar. Lahat yan isinasaalang-alang natin, pero hindi maaring kalimutan ng Kristiyano na kapag dinala siya ng Panginoon sa isang lugar, trabaho man yan, eskwela, tirahan, kasama yung gospel reason. Narito ako dahil dala-dala ko ang ebanghelyo. Kaya given a period of time, say several months, a year, dapat yung mga nakapalibot sa yung nakakausap mo ay narinig na rin sa yung ebanghelyo. Isang bagay ito na ipanuri natin. Yung bang pinakamalapit sa iyo, yung nakakausap mo tungkol sa weather, politics, at developments, news, maybe showbiz, kung nakakausap mo sa lahat ng iyon, nakausap mo ba tungkol sa gospel? It is, to me, it is an embarrassment for me personally. If a person knows something from me about my political position, and I can talk about politics, but if a person who hears my political position has not heard my evangelical position, I consider it a personal embarrassment. So yan ang isang tanong. At muli, uulitin ko yung pang-isahan at napakaganda nung inulit sa Luke chapter 15 sa context nung magkakasunod na parable ng lost coin, lost sheep, and the prodigal son. Ang inulit doon ay, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Imagine that, joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Kaya, ibig sabihin, i-treasure natin bawat isa. I-treasure natin bawat isang makasalanan. Huwag mong maliitin na, eh, buti si pastor, nakakapangaral sa maraming tao linggo-linggo. Ay, yung isang nakakausap mo, pinapahalagahan sa langit. Pinapahalagahan ng Panginoon, ng mga anghel, at kapag merong nagsisi, sinabing nagkakaroon ng kagalakan sa sangkalangitan over a single sinner. So, there are people, consider that there are people whose opportunity to hear the gospel is through you alone. Most likely, kapag hindi mo siya binahaginan, he would have lost the opportunity to hear the gospel again. Huwag mong sabihin, well, sana marinig niya sa radio o sana mabigyan ng tract. Yung mga sana-sana na yun, huwag mong asahan. Kung nandiyan ka na, nakakausap, ikaw na yung bibig. You are now the mouthpiece of God for that man. And imagine that this man, this soul, might spend eternity in a Christless hell when he could have heard the gospel and been given the opportunity to repent. So, hindi ito pananakot, hindi ito pangungonsensya, kundi the simple thought that there is someone who you could have talked about the gospel. Halimbawang may alam kang gamot sa isang malalang sakit at yung kaibigan mo, kapitbahay mo, o kasama mo sa bahay, ay may ganung sakit at hindi alam yung lunas na yun, pero alam mo, hindi ba't sasabihin mo, it's just natural. And that brings me to my third and last point, bakit ito obligation, the natural argument. If the gospel is what the Christian claims it is, its nature demands sharing. Ano bang sinasabi natin sa gospel? Tayo, kung tayo Kristiyano, ang claim natin ay ligtas tayo dahil kay Kristo, dahil tinanggap natin at sinampalatayanan ng Ebanghelyo. E ano bang inaangkin natin tungkol sa Ebanghelyo? Di ba, Romans 1:16, that it is the power of God unto salvation. At kung yan ang kiniklaim natin, well, it should be shared. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and following, hinati ni Pablo yung mga tao patungkol sa Ebanghelyo as Jews to whom the message is a stumbling block. Natitisod, nasasaktan sila sa Ebanghelyo. Then yung Greeks to whom the gospel is foolishness. Tinatawanan nila ang Ebanghelyo. But then to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks. So sa parehong grupo, doon sa mga nasasaktan at sa doon sa mga tinatawanan, sa parehong grupo may tinatawag ang Diyos. Kaya ibig sabihin, mangusap ka sa parehong grupo, sa mga religyoso, kagaya ng Jews, kapag kinausap mo sila, masasaktan siguro sila, parang hinahamak mo relihiyon ko. Pero kailangan pa rin silang kausapin. O kaya naman, doon sa nagmamarunong, at kapag kinausap mo sa Ebanghelyo, tatawanan ka. Eh kuminsan, kapag yung kakausapin natin masasaktan, takot tayo. Kapag yung kakausapin natin tatawanan, mahihiya tayo. Eh, andun na yung lahat ng reaksyon. Pero ang sinasabi rito ng Panginoon, dyan papasok yung Calvinism natin na kung may kausapin ka at tawagin siya ng Diyos, ay maliligtas siya. At yun ang magagawa ng Ebanghelyo. Kaya hindi tayo umaasa sa magaling naman ako mag-persuade, kilala ko naman ang taong to, hindi, kundi tatawagin siya ng Panginoon. May mga dumalo sa tatay ko kahapon, nagpapasalamat ako at alam ko nagpapasalamat yung aking mga magulang, eh, nasabi rin sa kanila, nagtatampo na sa akin at hindi ako nakakadalaw. Pero ang tatay ko, tagal kong kinausap yan, taon, at nandun yung panahon na nasasaktan siya, ayaw mong manakit ng tatay. May panahon namang tatawanan ka at makikipag-debate sa'yo, eh, pag makipag-debate ka sa tatay, ay mahirap din. Pero hindi ko akalain in his 70s, he would come to the Lord. And at least at his present age of 80, I am confident that he's in the Lord. I never thought that such a man, as I know him, the Lord will call, but the Lord called him. Kaya wag na wag kang bumigay sa attitude na, yan, kilala ko yan, wag mo nang pag-aksayahan ng panahon. Mali po yung ganung attitude na isipin mo, masasaktan lang siya o tatawanan lang niya. Both groups are in the consideration of Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, and yet, kinausap, dapat kausapin sapagkat maaari silang tawagin ng Panginoon. Then Romans 10:15, sinabi roon na, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call upon whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? O, hindi ibig sabihin na preacher lang ang pwedeng mag-share, kundi sinabi roon, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ, the gospel. And then binanggit doon na, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Yung context niyan ay, bakit beautiful feet? Yung context niyan ay yung ancient warfare. Pag nangyari yung battle sa ibang lugar, yung syudad, kung saan galing yung soldiers, may mga nag-aabang na ron. Anong balita sa battle? Wala pa namang cellphone noon o radio. Aabangan nila yung darating mula sa battle. Malayo pa lang, matatanaw na nila yung dumarating. At kapag talo yung battle, makikita na nila. Siguro lupay-pay yung mga naglalakad, depressed. Pero kung ang takbo nila ay masiglang-masigla, siguro nag-high five pa habang tumatakbo, at yung mga nasa pader, sasabihin na nila, oh, how beautiful are the feet. Good news ang dala ng mga ito. So, yan yung picture ng how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Yan ang dala-dala natin. Nanalo na ang Panginoon. Nagwagi na siya laban sa Diablo, bagamat hindi pa husto, darating pa sa kahustuhan, sa second coming, pero nangyari na yung victory. Dala-dala natin ang news of victory. So, let us be the beautiful feet that bring good news to people. Kaya, if the gospel is what it is, as we claim it to be, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we believe and therefore we speak. And the problem, therefore, why we do not speak is not so much a problem of defective speaking, as it is the problem of defective believing. Believe it, and it will speak itself. May mga bagay na kapag pinaniwalaan mo, ay sasalitain mo. At yan ang uri ng Ebanghelyo. So the most important motive for evangelism is the evangel itself. And this is also one reason why I want to retain the word evangelize. Because the motive to evangelize is the evangel. Maniwala ka. At kung pinaniwalaan mo yan, hindi maaring manahimik. It is the kind that cannot be restrained. So, evangelizing, eh, dito na tayo papasok. Summarize natin ngayon itong evangel. Ito ang si-share natin. Next week and the following, tututok tayo sa practical conversation, paano ka makipag-usap, at bibigyan ko kayo ng diagram ng process ng conversation. Magiging practical tayo sa mga susunod. But just for now, ano bang binabahagi natin? Well, very quick summary. Please turn to Romans 3:21-26. Napakagandang ito yung nagtuturo ako ngayon sa Grace Ministerial Academy ng Book of Romans. At itong sinasabi kong puso ng Romans ay itong 3:21-26. You master this, you have grasped the heart of evangelical theology. Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is through faith in Jesus Christ for all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So, ang sinasabi riyan, sa law, condemnation. There is no righteousness by the law. But now, sabi ni Paul, by yung but now niya, ngayon, dahil nangyari na yung kay Kristo, but now, there is a righteousness apart from the law. At yan po ang Ebanghelyo, very basic, the most basic of the gospel is a righteousness apart from the law through Christ Jesus by faith. If you can master that little statement, that's the gospel. So, paano natin isishare ang gospel na yan? Well, unang-una, it's news. The gospel is good news. Yan ang basic ng gospel. Yung evangel literally means good news. At pag sinabi mong news, nangyari. Pag nagbasa ka ng newspaper, ang makikita mo sa harapan ay yung mga news. Sa inside pages siguro, mga chismis at opinions. Pero at least sa harapan sana ay talagang news ng nangyari. Kapag tayo ay nagsishare ng gospel, may sineshare tayong nangyari. At yung nangyari ay yung may kinalaman kay Kristo. Kaya yung point ni Paul na but now, time element yon, may nangyari na. Kaya but now, sa law, walang righteousness, but now, ngayong may nangyari na. Kaya kapag tayo nagsishare ng gospel, hindi maaari hindi mo i-relate yung nangyari kay Kristo. We are talking of news. We are talking of Christ, what He has done. So evangelizing is telling the significance of events relating to Christ. And this is good news because it answers the bad news of sin. Kaya siya good news, eh, sapagkat merong unang bad news. Ang bad news ay kasalanan. All have sinned. Anong ginawa ng kasalanan? We have fallen short of the glory of God. So, everything that man is, short of God. Man and his religion, short of God. Man and his virtues, short of God. Man and his philanthropy, short of God. That's bad news. The good news is, something happened. May nangyari. Christ has died and rose again. So sharing the gospel is sharing news, events. Then, the gospel or evangelizing as teaching. May katuruan. Merong gospel doctrine at ang pinaka-essence ng gospel doctrine ay itong tinawag na righteousness. Itong righteousness o ang salita ng theology ay justification by faith. Yan po ay salitang korte na ang siguro mas tamang salin ngayon ay acquittal, pinawalang sala. Kapag ang isang akusado ay hahatulan na ng huwes, dalawa lang ang pwede. Guilty, not guilty. Ang justification is not guilty. Eh, paano mangyayari yun? Eh, halimbawa, alam mong may kasalanan ka, paano kang mahatulan na not guilty? Ito nang sinabi by Christ Jesus, there is a righteousness apart from the law. Dahil may ginawa na ang Panginoon, mangyayari yung justification by faith. So evangelizing is explaining points of doctrine. Kaya kinakalaalam mo yung mga fundamentals ng doctrine, particularly justification by faith. Yung pagpapawalang sala, kaya kasama rin yung batas. Pag tayo nag-evangelize, tinuturo natin yung commandments na nalabag at paano tayo na not guilty sa harap ng commandments na nalabag natin through Christ. So, evangelizing is sharing teaching, sharing doctrines. Ikatlo, evangelizing is also sharing. Kaya nag-evangelize dahil naranasan mo yung evangel. Kaya dito hindi pwedeng wala kang, hindi pwede yung isang taong magtuturo lang dahil alam lang niya intellectually, kundi naranasan mo mismo, iniligtas ka. At gusto mo ngayong ibahagi. So, evangelizing includes testimony, personally sharing what you have known and what you are living out. And then finally, evangelizing as an appeal. Dahil sinabi rito, by faith. Kaya hindi ito pagtuturo ng, ayan, alam mo na. Hindi pwede yung ganun, kundi sa evangelizing, may kasamang appeal. Believe in Christ. Come to Christ. Merong appeal for decision. Pero yung decision, hindi sinner's prayer na dinidikta. Yan ang karaniwang popular na method ngayon. Dito papasok muli yung ating pagpapaubaya sa Diyos. Ipinaalam natin, itinuro natin, ibinahagi natin, umapila tayo, pero kung siya ay magdidesisyon ng hakbang ng pananampalataya, tatawagin siya ng Diyos. Doon natin ipapaubaya sa pagtawag ng Diyos sa Kanya. Dito po maling-mali yung ginagawa ng marami na pinapadikta yung panalangin at kapag diniktat inulit na, siya pa mismong magbibigay ng pagtitiyak na kung pinanalangin mo, inaanyayahan ko si Kristo sa aking puso. Diba, sinanay kami dyan noon na pagkatapos manalangin yun, bibigyan mo na ng assurance. And this is so wrong. Romans 8:16 says, it is the Spirit Himself who bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Wala sa atin yung pagtitiyak, kundi nasa Espiritu. Kung siya'y talagang sumampalataya. So here then are the various angles or perspectives of approaches in evangelism. When we evangelize, we tell good news, events. When we evangelize, we teach doctrine, so propositions and teaching. When we evangelize, we share, so merong testimony, experience. And when we evangelize, we appeal, so merong decision. We appeal for decision, invitation to come to Christ. Now, hindi ibig sabihin na sa bawat evangelism ng one-on-one, nangyayari lahat yan. Kung minsan, munting bahagi lang. When you give out a tract and invite a person, come to church, that's already part of the whole composite picture of evangelism. Pero bahagi na yun. Kaya huwag mong maliitin o huwag mong pabayaan kung makakapag-invite ko, makapagbibigay ng tract. Bahagi na yun sa total picture ng evangelism. Pero ang gusto ko lang ngayong umaga, tanggapin mo na obligasyon natin to. Let us have the joy in the obligation of evangelism by drawing the right motive from the evangel itself. This is good news. We'll tell it like it is. Good news of salvation. Any question? Papu.
Itatanong ko lang po kung tama yung naging karanasan ko. Nung naranasan ko po ang kaligtasan, sumunod na araw, talagang pumunta, talagang naranasan kong mag-evangelize. Wala po akong ibang alam na mensaheng dalhin sa tao, kundi yung narinig ko sa pulpito na si Kristo'y namatay, muling nabuhay at nasa langit. Kasi ang, hindi ko naman literal na nakikita, pero tingin ko sa tao, kakaharap ko, nasa bangin ng impyerno, sa atul ng Diyos na anumang oras na mamamatay siya ay diretso agad siya roon. Yun ang nagtutulak sa akin na kahit kulang ako sa mensaheng binibigay ay nag-uudyok sa aking mag-ibanghelyo. Tama po ba yung karanasan yon?
Yung karanasan mo ay pag-iulit.
Tingin ko po sa tao, nasa bangin ng impyerno na sa atul ng Diyos na anumang oras, pwede siyang mamatay at diretso sa impyerno. Ayokong palampasin yung pagkakataon na yun.
Kasama yun sa yung sense ng danger ng isang makasalanan. Kung na mamalayan mo, Nararamdaman mo yung peligro niya na siya ay mapapahamak. Kasama yun sa ating motibo, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So yung kaalaman natin ng panganib at nung puot na hinaharap ng isang makasalanan, kasama sa mag-uudyok sa atin na mag-ebanghelyo. Pero ang sinasabi ko na the best motive is the evangel itself, ang ibig sabihin niyan ay, o tamang nakikita mo yung panganib ng makasalanan, pero yung para meron kang galak na mag-share, hayaan mong ang motibo ay nanggaling sa paniniwala mo na napakaganda ng balitang ito. Parang hindi maitatabi, hindi pwedeng manahimik dahil napakaganda ng balita. So idagdag mo dun sa peligro ng makasalanan ay yung ganda ng mensahe ng ebanghelyo para merong positive. Other thoughts? Patrick.
Pastor, regarding po sa message, I heard an evangelist sabi po niya ay, I will not come to a sinner just to tell him that God loves him. Dahil po doon sa idea na may mga nag-share, tapos the first thing they will say is, God loves you. The first verse they will quote is John 3:16. Pero wala pong proper and clear reference doon sa holy law and standard ng God tsaka sinfulness of man. Yun pong second ay good news daw po siya. So therefore, hindi po nila gusto yung idea na sobrang mong ididiin yung kasalanan, pagiging makasalanan ng tao. Just tell them that God loves them. Dahil good news yan. Huwag mong masyadong diinan yung kasalanan. Ano po yung comment doon sa dalawang?
Well, unang-una, doon sa hindi magsisimula sa God loves you, tama naman yun, dahil hindi yun ang una niyang kailangan. He will not appreciate love without the context ng law and wrath of God. Sabi ng 1 John 4:10, hereby do we know that God is love, in that He sent His Son as propitiation for our sins. So paano natin talaga ma-appreciate yung love? Through the Son who died as propitiation. Ano ibig sabihin ng propitiation? Ang ibig pong sabihin yan ay sinatisfy yung wrath. Yan ang propitiation. Sa mga tuwid, we only understand God's love in the context of satisfying the wrath of God through the Son. Kaya tama yun, yung sa una na hindi agad love. Yan ang mali ng maraming gospel sharing. Halimbawa, yung four spiritual laws ng Campus Crusade for Christ begins with law number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Or purpose-driven life. Yun ang mali na inuumpisaan sa love na parang yun ang unang-unang kailangan. Hindi. Kailangan niyang malaman God as creator, God as lawgiver. Kaya sa ating ginagamit na material, sow your seed, inuuna natin yung creation, law, in order to understand and appreciate love. Ngayon, yung nagsasabing huwag masyado idiin ang kasalanan, kundi God loves you, yun nga ang point na He will not appreciate what love is in its real gospel sense unless it is in the context of His sinfulness, the wrath of God, the law of God. Kaya, love is a wonderful character of God. Hindi natin minamaliit yun at there will be proper exposition and presentation of the love of God. Pero ma-appreciate nga lang yun sa context ng God in His law and justice and in His wrath. Yung proper understanding of love is through God's justice. Other thoughts? Carol.
Pastor, you mentioned here that evangelism is for all those who are converted. I would just like to share, kasi one time, even in, we had a workshop that there in a church, they ang focus nila is to train their youth to focus on how to soul win. To win souls, yun yung pinaka-activity, yun ang tinuturo talaga nila sa Sunday school nila. And nakakalungkot kasi even the youth themselves aren't saved. So how can they train these children, these youth to do the soul winning na hindi pa sila saved. Tapos, and it's really existing even in the Reformed community. Para rin, Pastor, is giving assurance, false assurance to these children that they are already saved.
Oh, mali talaga yun. Kung ang itinuturo na ay soul winning sa mga taong they themselves need to be won to Christ, it's putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. Kaya kadalasan nangyayari yan sa context ng tinatawag nating decisionism. Most likely, itong mga young people na ito ay pinag-decide na, nagtaas ng kamay, pinaulit ng panalangin, binigyan ng assurance, kaya tinitreat na sila as Christians, at pagkatapos soul winning na ang pinapatrabaho sa kanila when in most cases ay maaaring hindi sila talaga Kristiyano. Kaya ayaw natin ng decisionism because it breeds false conversion and false assurance. Kung sinasabi mong nasa Reformed community, sana huwag naman rebap. Kung nasa rebap, baka hindi nag-aaral sa GMA yon. Biro lang. Other questions? Peringatan po natin yung decisionism. You have heard it from me many times because I've been burned by it personally. Dumaan ako ron. Matagal na panahong meron akong false assurance when I was not truly saved. And yet I was taught by my sincere soul winner, tinuruan akong huwag ka nang magduda, pupunta ka ng langit. Dahil lang sa pinanalangin ko yung inulit o dinikta niya sa akin. At matagal na panahon yun. And it was a trauma for me when finally, I came to the point of realizing I was not truly saved. So, wag nating hayaang magkaroon ng false assurance through decisionism. And if I'm speaking to anyone who thinks that you are saved because you repeated a prayer of invitation to Christ, wag yun ang asahan natin. Ang asahan natin ay si Kristo mismo sa kanyang mensahe. Other thoughts?
Share ko lang po yung experience ko, Pastor, no? Regarding ito sa point number two sa obligations of every Christian. Each Christian has access to some sinners uniquely his or own. Regarding doon sa work ko. Totoo po yun, kasi like I have a colleague yung Thai. I think I've shared this before. I think at least 3 times I shared the gospel to him. And hindi mo pwedeng palampasin to eh. He's a devout Buddhist. Makita mo, ang dami niyang ano talaga sa Buddhist. But there are many times, lagi siya nagtatanong. And I don't know, sabi ko nga, is this a lost cause or opportunity? And in relation dun sa isang point din doon na we can only really share or evangelize kung ikaw mismo na-experience mo yung si Kristo. And totoo po yun. Hindi mo pwedeng baliwalain yung pagkakataon na yun. And last July when I was in the U.S., prior to dinner, isang Hindi, isang Mexicano, isang Katoliko, I myself, and isang Muslim. Then, napapunta kami sa topic ng relihiyon eh. Ayoko muna magsalita. Di maingay yung Mexicano, gawa doon sa Catholicism. And dumating sa point na parang yung isa lang naman Diyos, blah, 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 blah. Eh, hindi ko naman tolerate. Sabi ko, if I may speak, I would like to speak for our, no, for our faith. Yan ang sinasabi ko na nga yung kabutihan ni Kristo, yung gospel. Biglang umentra yung Muslim. Can we not talk about religion? So, I was caught in a situation. Sabi ko nga, well, the thing is, I just want to show them na hindi ko pwede i-compromise yung katotohanan ng Diyos, ng aming Diyos. And the thing is, though mabait naman itong Muslim na to, pero hopefully, na dumating yung time na maybe mapuko din yung kanilang ano, yung isipan nila, ano merong taong to, bakit very ano, strict siya doon sa kanyang ano, pananampalataya. Yeah. Magandang pagkakataon to.
Thank you, Ike. At yun nga, sa mga pagkakataon natin sa ating trabaho, most likely you're the only Christian in your workplace. Well, to who else will these people hear the gospel in the context of work kundi sa Kristiyanong naroon? Kaya yung point din ni Ike, ang sinasabi ko rin kanina, hindi tayo nangahamak ng ibang reliyon. Sana wag ganun ang dating natin. Naniniwala tayo sa kalayaan. But precisely, we believe in persuasion. Persuading, not intimidating, not manipulating, not terrorizing, kundi persuading na hayaan mo sila magsalita. Yan ang ginawa ni Pablo. Nung when he entered the synagogue, ay nagsalita yung ilan at pagkatapos nung nabigyan siya ng pagkakataon, siya naman nagsalita. Naniniwala tayo ron. Sharing of ideas, even from other religions. But then, if you believe your faith, share it. And then persuade without contempt of others. Rex. Sorry. Then Rod.
In relation dun sa sinabi ni Ike Pastor, meron bang maling panahon ng pag-evangelize?
Well, that's a good question. And in fact, I'll be sharing that sa susunod na mga topics natin, conversation. May sinabi ang Panginoong maliwanag na kung kayo'y patuloyin sa mga bahay at iba pang mga pagkakataon when you are received. If you are not received, then move on. Sa mga tweed, one thing that we will not tolerate is yung tinatawag na invasive evangelism. Yan ang ginagawang measure ng zeal ng iba. Invasive, anong invasive? Nananalakay. Nangihimasok na pag-iibanghelyo. Yung hindi ka naman pinayagan, pero basta mo i-press, i-impose. Anong halimbawa niyan? Bigla sa bus, bigla na lang may mga ngaral na buti sana kung hanggang pangaral lang talaga, manghihingi pa. Lalong pinapapangit yung message. Then, I remember in one, kung ewan ko kung ginagawa pa rin ngayon, but in one graduation ceremony dyan sa UPLD, habang tinatawag ang mga pangalan, ano bang grupo itong ginrab yung mic, and then for a few seconds yata, nangaral, and they think that is zeal, it's invasion, that is making the gospel look ugly. Kaya yung maling panahon ay yung invasive, hindi ka naman wini-welcome, pinipilit mo. Kung ayaw niya, huwag mong ipilit. At kung oras ng trabaho, hindi yan oras ng ebanghelyo. Kaya paggamitin mo yung office time for Bible study, hindi yan zeal, yan ay steal. Stealing office time. Dahil binabayaran ka sa time na yon, hindi para sa ebanghelyo, huwag natin gamitin doon. At halimbawa, yung meron ding ginagamit yung kanilang privilege sa trabaho, again, para i-impose yung kanilang pananampalataya, they may be really concerned, but it's wrong. So, gawin natin yung freedom ng iba ay huwag panghimasukan ng dahil sa ating pananampalataya. But we'll discuss that more when we come to conversational evangelism. Rod?
Doon sa Matthew 10:33, yung "But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Can a true Christian deny Christ? And if so, paano yung i-deny na ni Christ yung Christian?
Well, a true Christian can deny Christ on occasions, pero yung a lifetime of denial of Christ would not be possible for a person who is a true believer. Pero yung occasional denial, we saw that in Peter, sa kanyang pagmamatigas at pagtatapang-tapangan, ay napadpad siya doon sa talagang he was pressed. Kasama ka ng taong yan. And at that point, ang context ay tinatry na si Christ sa Sanhedrin. Ay pag sinabi niyang kasama niya ako, baka mapasama siya. So, he denied. So, it's possible for a person to deny Christ by fear, timidity, shyness, on occasions. Pero I reject the possibility that a true Christian will have a total life of denial of Christ. Go ahead. Palap.
Yung ano, yung sense naman doon sa him will I so also deny before my Father. So, paano i-deny ni Christ yung Christian na nagdi-deny sa kanya before my Father?
Well, it only means that there are those who claim to be Christians who are not. They profess to be Christians, kagaya dyan nung mga nasa Matthew 7, 22, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do this in your name? They are professing to be Christians, but to them, Jesus is not Lord. Kasi ang context nun, ay yung mga hindi naman ginagawa ang kalooban ng Ama. So although they call Jesus Lord, but they do not do the will of my Father. Sabi sa Matthew 7:21. And then followed by, on that day, there are those who will say, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do signs and wonders in your name? And then I will deny them. So ganito rin to sa Matthew 10, there will be those who profess to be Christ, pero in their life, there is no testimony at all for Christ. And they will be denied. In other words, they are not true Christians. Other thoughts? Carol? Sorry, Jin. Si Jin muna na sa kanya na yung mic.
Pastor, nung nag-share si Ike, naalala ko rin yung experience ko when I was in Cambodia yung July. Yung work ng spirit while you are evangelizing, yung ipag-pray mo talaga na hindi mo kasakayang sasagutin, hindi you will be surprised dun sa mga itatanong ng mga tao. Kasi yung experience ko, I was with dinner with a British biologist. Ang sinabi niya, hindi siya naniniwala dun sa historical Jesus. E sa akin, pag nag-share ako, parang yun yung sinasabi ko, yung historical Jesus. So pinag-pray ko na sana masagot ko yung objection niya dun sa historical Jesus. And by God's, yun na nga, yung work ng Spirit na maraming napuntahan yung aming usapan. Pero in the end, sinabi ko sa kanya na si Christ ay isa sa mga question niya yung he is so detached. So sabi ko, pero hindi nga eh, pumunta nga siya dito, naging tao nga siya, and became man, and naging kaisa natin. So hindi nga siya detached. At sa ngayon, dun sa mga naniniwala, nandyan yung Holy Spirit who is working in the lives of the people. Pero yung inisip ko, kung sarili ko lang, hindi ko kayang sagutin yung mga objection. But when we evangelize, nandun yung dependence natin dun sa Holy Spirit.
And that's an important point na yung sinabi sa 1 Corinthians 1, some will consider it stumbling block, others will consider it foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, meaning, sino yung magre-respond in faith? Yung tinawag. Kaya dependent tayo sa pagtawag ng Panginoon sa mga hindi mananampalataya. Kaya that means sa kanya tayo mananangan. At iba't ibang klase talaga yung mararanasan mo. That is the reason why I believe in true evangelism, sometimes it needs logic. C.S. Lewis, na convince siya by logic. Others are my means of testimonial, yung nakita niya sa karanasan. Kaya iba-ibang klase, hindi, kaya nga I reject itong, matututuhanan pa natin to more next time, but I reject this stereotype evangelism na isang klase lang. Kaya tawagin nilang Roman Road for spiritual loss, etc. There can never be a stereotype evangelism because of the differences of people. We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit, pero we also need to widen our knowledge of scriptures. Carol, go ahead.
Pastor, when is really the best time to evangelize to unbelievers who had really seen your sinfulness in the past? Do we have to wait for to grow more in graces, or let our testimony encourage them, but considering that they haven't heard the gospel yet?
Well, in terms ng priority of evangelism dito nga sa circle of relations, the top priority are the people closest to you, household, the people who know you and who can tell both by your word and life whether you are telling the truth. Kuminsan mas madaling mag-witness sa stranger na hindi ka kilala. Akala ng iba yun ang sukat ng kanilang boldness that they can share with strangers. And I tell my students, I challenge you rather to share with those people who know you most. At kung ang response nila is sneer, sino kang magsishare ng ganyan, ay ang mga the best persuasive witness is that of a life that people have seen change. Kaya yun ang circle of priority. And then, workmates, and then where you have the time, strangers, pero hindi strangers ang mauna, kundi yung people who know you, closest to you. Other thoughts? Myla.
Pastor, nung batang Kristiyano pa ako, and for that matter, yung grupo namin, and I think this is true for many Christian groups sa LD, pag bagong Kristiyano, lalo na sa doktrina nila, parang ang buhay Kristiyano ay evangelism. Parang doon na lang umiikot ang buhay. Generally, sa church or sa fellowship nila, but specifically sa pag-share ng gospel or yung tinatawag natin evangelism. And dahil dito parang kaaway na ang lahat ng tao, ng pamilya, kahit ang pag-aaral ay isang tabi na lang. Ano po ang maikling word na pwede niyong i-advise sa ating maraming mga bagong Kristiyanong kabataan?
It's a good point. And totoo yun na may mga iglesyang yung kanilang be all end all of existence ay soul winning. As much as we emphasize soul winning, that is not the first mandate of the church. It is an important mandate, but the first mandate of the church is worship sanctification. Yung ang worship at sanctification natin ang magbibigay ng timbang sa ating patotoo. Pero nabuhay rin ako when I was with another church as a young Christian. Ito yung idinikdik sa amin, kasama yung tithe. Tithing. Isa yung dalawang paayata na tinitindigan ng iglesia ay offering tithing tapos soul winning. Yun na lang hakbang ng hakbang. Magpapalitan lang doon yung mga punto ng mensahe. Napakalungkot kasi walang kabanalan, walang pagdidiin sa tunay na relasyon sa Diyos. Pero dahil may soul winning at kadalasan yung ganyan, kakabit rin decisionism. Pinapadali nila yung soul winning para masabing marami silang na-win. Kami noon, may quota card pa. Ilan yung napadecide namin. Ang tawag namin noon, PRC. Pray to receive Christ. Ilan yung na-PRC mo? Pinsan, payabangan pa kami yan. Ito, ganito karami ngayon. It's so carnal. And yan nga yung point na hindi nang gagaling sa evangel yung motive. At ayaw natin yan. Soul winning, witnessing, or as I prefer, evangelizing, should arise from a life that is close to God and that has been changed by the gospel. Peng.
Gusto ko lang pong magbahagi ng karanasan namin. Ako po kasama po yung pamilya ko ay naranasan na manirahan sa isang lugar na kung saan ang pagpapahayag ng ebanghelyo ay maaring labag sa batas or pinatawag na proselytizing. So, ang ano ko lang, encouragement ko, kasi dito malaya tayong nakakapag-share ng gospel, nakakapag-evangelize, na to the point nga nagiging invasive tayo. Pero dumating po kami sa point nung kami ay wala dito at nasa Egypt na mismong pag-share po ng gospel sa isang kasambahay na nagpupunta sa amin at sinasabing gusto niya ng maging Kristiyano, pag tuwiran ko siyang sinasabihan na dapat ay tumalikod ka sa kasalanan kasi Muslim siya pero Pilipina at manumbalik sa kay Kristo kasi dati siyang Catholic, alam niya yung teachings although Catholic siya. Sa kanya, dahil married siya sa isang Muslim, kapag ginawa niya yon ay maaring katumbas ito ng kanyang buhay o mawawala sa kanyang mga anak niya. Dahil nagkaroon nga siya ng anak sa Muslim na asawa. So, yun yung time na napakahirap para sa amin mag-share. Tapos, pagdating dito, parang na-challenge kami na bakit kung may kalayaan, minsan napipigilan pa kaming mag-share ng gospel, mag-evangelize, samantalang malayang-malaya tayong magbahagi ng salita ng Diyos dito sa ating bayan. Yun lang po yung challenge ko. Sana let's take advantage of the freedom that we are enjoying in our place. If we compare ourselves to other nations na ang mga Kristiyano persecuted at hindi nakakapagbahagi ng salita ng malaya sa ibang faith, taong may ibang faith, ay magpasalamat tayo sa Panginoon sa ganong kalayaan.
Thank you, Teng. That's a very good point. Napakalaki ng privilege natin na malaya tayong magbahagi, walang threat, at may freedom of religion dito sa ating society. Let's take advantage of that, and that means the less excuse do we have na hindi magbahagi. So yung sa Egypt, at recently I was a speaker sa anniversary ng Nova Liches. Isa sa mga nagtestimony doon ay galing din ng Middle East, at siya raw ay dahil nangaral, nakulong, na patawa ng parusang kamatayan. I mean, yun ang sentence niya, although by negotiation ay napalaya siya doon, pero yun ang pinataw sa kanyang sentensya. And that's the kind of society, that's the kind of societies that exist still in many places, and we are so much privileged. But the privilege means we have a lot less excuse. Last thoughts. Ang hindi na natin magagamit na excuse ay yung wala kang masabihan. Unless nasa pulo ka na ikaw lang mag-isa. Lahat tayo merong masasabihan, merong kasalimuha, may karelasyon, at may mga kamag-anak. At lalo tayong walang excuse dahil hindi lang ngayon basta salita lang, kundi we can use text, track, email. There are a lot more technologies for us to be able to share. So again, let me point that yung ating key text ngayon na if you do not confess, you are actually denying Christ. Kaya where you are you a confessor of Christ or one who denies Christ? I hope every member of this church will be able to say, I confess Christ where He has put me. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, naway tanggapin namin ang hamon ng iyong salita kung kami mga tunay na mananampalataya, bahagi ng aming obligasyon at responsibilidad na dapat naming gampanan ng may kagalakan ay ang ibahagi ang Ebanghelyo. Ito ay sapagkat iniutos ng iyong salita, mando ng Biblia, na kaming mga nakaranas ay dapat namang ipamahagi ang aming naranasang kaligtasan kay Kristo. Ito rin ay nagpapaalala sa amin na inilagay mo kami sa iyong probidensya, sa mga kalagayang may angkin kaming mga relasyon at mga naaabot na mga taong sa amin makakaasa na makarinig ng Ebanghelyo. Na huwag naming palampasin ang mga gayong pagkakataon, lalo nga't naipaalala sa amin na kami nasa malayang lipunan, hindi sa mga lipunang umuusig ng namamahagi ng Ebanghelyo. And because of this, we have a lot less excuse to make as to why we are not sharing the gospel. And help us, Lord, to so believe in the gospel for what it is and what we claim it to be, that it is the power of God to salvation, that in it there is righteousness apart from the law, and there is good news that answers the bad news of sin because of what Christ has done in death and resurrection. And grant, Lord, that all this will really redound to a heart that is brimming with gladness that we have been saved from our sins. And may it be our desire to share the same message that alone can save sinners today. So grant that we may be a church faithful to our commission, a church that teaches one another, and a church that extends this mandate of evangelism for the promotion of your kingdom. So challenge us. And we pray for our visitors that they too will be challenged to realize that there is only one name that can save, which is the name that we still preach, proclaim, and spread throughout all the world. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may it be our delight to evangelize. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.